This is quite a program. On April 27th, a jet airplane is going to be flying to Washington, D.C., filled with World War II vets. Our guests today, Jim Campbell and Mike Thompson, the co-founders of the organization called Never Forgotten Honor Flight. We also have Ralph Beekler, who's a World War II veteran and a retired Wausau businessman. Ralph is in his 90s, and he's making the trip later in April. Now, we'd like you to join the conversation. If you know a vet, a World War II vet, if you've got fond memories, it works better when you call 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. We'll be back after this. Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. This is Route 51, regional talk radio for North Central Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Moberg. Today our travels take us from North Central Wisconsin to Washington, D.C. on a trip for surviving World War II veterans to see the memorial that has been built in their honor. The number of veterans of the Great War is getting smaller every day, and with many of them now in their 80s and 90s, there is an urgency for them to experience this long overdue recognition of their service and sacrifice, which in a very real way turned America into the world's great superpower. Our guests today are Jim Campbell and Mike Thompson, the co-founders of a local organization called Never Forgotten Honor Flight, which next month will take a big plane filled with World War II vets on a trip to see their memorial free of charge. The organization has gotten off to a great start with regional sponsors, fundraisers, and volunteers all pitching in to make this improbable dream a reality. Also joining us, Ralph Beekler, a World War II vet who is taking that plane ride to Washington. Ralph is a well-known Wausau area businessman and the former vice president of Murray Machinery. We want to hear from you. Are you a veteran of the Great War or a veteran of Korea, Vietnam, or Iraq? Is there a World War II vet or another veteran in your life that was important to you? We'd like you to share your memories, stories, and especially your support. Please give us a phone call at 261-6371. That's 261-6371. Or toll free from anywhere you're listening at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Mike, Jim, and Ralph, thanks for joining us on Route 51 today.
Thanks for having us, Glenn.
Thank you, Glenn.
Why did you organize this chapter of this group?
Actually, 4 short months ago, Jim Campbell and I sat down at Applebee's on Veterans Day, and Pat Pillart joined us as the original three board members to create, first agree on a name, which turned out to be Never Forgotten Honor Flight, in memory of our veterans, both World War II and all veterans for that matter. And we decided to make a go of it, and we've been creating the infrastructure and the marketing materials, the ability to create our three-legged stool, as we'll call it, which is the recruit veterans, recruit guardians to take care of the veterans along the way, and also to raise money, approximately $85,000, to bring a 737 into Central Wisconsin Airport to fly about 105 veterans and 50 guardians.
Now, you've got that flight scheduled for what? It's April 27th? Is that
correct,
when you're going?
April 27th.
So if you got the flight scheduled, I would imagine you were pretty successful in raising the money.
Well, like a lot of flights, Glenn, we put a stake in the ground and picked a date, considering of weather and a lot of other factors. And I think we had about $1,500 in the bank
when we did that.
4 months
figured,
ago. We figured if we didn't put a stake in the ground, the date would continue to kind of slide. So we're getting closer. We're getting closer. But I'm positive we'll get there.
Do you have any seats available yet, or are you filled up for this one?
Actually, since we were the fifth hub in the state of Wisconsin, there were four others that had been taking vets, some for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they were covering the veterans that were in the 19 counties that we now cover. So when we started, we got quite a few of applications, some of which go back two and a half years. So literally from our press announcement day, which was Christmas Eve, We've been receiving on an average of 3 new applications a day. The first plane was filled up the first week in February. The second plane that we're looking at early fall is almost half full already.
So this is not just one flight. It's a continuing process.
That is correct. We plan on continuing the Never Forgotten Honor Flight Hub through the World War II veterans, then on to Korea, and then Vietnam. And unfortunately, it'll probably go on Desert Storm, Iraq, and so forth.
Now this war, this flight, this whole organization, this wasn't something that you were the first to do.
Glenn, there is a National Honor Flight Network out of Springfield, Ohio. The way I came upon it is I grew up in Sioux City, Iowa, and a couple of brothers of mine had been on a couple of honor flights, and they were on the board of directors there. They convinced me to go on that flight, and from that I was very moved by the whole day, the whole process, the ability to talk to these, in my mind, heroes. Was just a great experience, and I kind of Googled around and tried to find out if there was any organizations, honor flight organizations in our area, and I did notice that there were some hundreds of miles away, Appleton probably being the closest, and decided that, some of these guys are getting up in their years and they don't travel as well as they used to. So I decided that we should get one going.
So Jim was saying that you cover 19 counties. How did you decide which counties you're going to be servicing?
Well, actually, we had to collaborate very closely with Old Glory out of Appleton and Freedom Flight out of La Crosse and
You kind
Badger.
Of picked up the ones in the middle?
Yes, and there was no problem whatsoever because these flights combined, those three hubs, had almost, if not more than 1,000 veterans waiting to go. So they were very excited to see us come online and turned over all the applications and formed the county boundaries that we now cover.
Ralph Buechler, you're a World War II vet. You're going on this flight. Why do you want to go?
Well, Glenn, I spent 4.5 years at the service, and I'd like to just see what they've done in Washington for the award. And
that memorial, which was long overdue.
Right. And I think these two gentlemen sitting here have done a superb job.
Ralph, where did you serve? Were you in the European Theater, the Pacific Theater?
No, it was all the South Pacific. I started out in New Zealand and worked up to Guadalcanal. And while in New Zealand, the Air Force was very generous. I got to go to the University of Wellington for 2 months to learn how to do the weather down there.
What experiences when you were overseas serving? How did what you went through prepare you for your life when you came back? And you later became a great community leader and business person in the Wausau area.
Well, I always thought that had I been back in the service, I would know a lot more than I did before I went in. It's very, very disciplinary.
Mm-hmm. So that discipline that you got in serving in World War II really helped you in your business career.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I got in. I signed up 6 months before the Japs hit Pearl Harbor. And I just kept going up and up and up, and I ended up being a major. And it turned out, I think I had probably one of the best jobs in the service.
And what was that again?
I was the forecaster for weather.
Okay. Did you see any action while you were overseas?
Oh, yes. I have a little story. I ended up at Guadalcanal. And trying to forecast weather at the equator with absolutely no previous experience or it's just difficult. But what I found out, that since all the weather comes from the west to the east, even down the southern hemisphere, that we could somehow get weather in order to do our maps. So I contacted the admiral, who was incidentally.
You know, some of those vets who came back to the Wausau area ended up going into television. Dick Dudley, Walter John.
Oh,
Chose.
Yeah, sure.
You didn't think you
Dick
you could have become a weatherman on Channel 7 back in the '50s if you wanted to.
Yeah. No, but we weren't getting any indication of what the weather was going to be. So I suggested, now, we always send out B-24s on surveillance jobs every day, all to the west. And I suggested to the admiral that he give some of his weathermen a chance to be weather observers, fly with the B-24.
And did you get to do that?
We did it, and we did it very well. And the admiral took a hook, line, and sinker. But he said, I won't give you any flying pay. And that's the thing that just killed the whole thing. But I had about 50 missions. I got aired.
Ralph, how old are you?
92.
Well, God bless you. We're talking to Ralph Buechler, World War II vet, Jim Campbell, and Mike Thompson of the Never Forgotten Honor Flight Group. We're going to be taking your phone calls. Don and Wausau, hang on. We're going to get to you right after this short break.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
We're talking to Mike Thompson and Jim Campbell, the organizers of Never Forgotten Honor Flight. They're taking a 737 filled with World War II vets to Washington, D.C. to see their memorial free of charge. Also, 92-year-old Ralph Buechler, retired Wausau businessman, World War II vet, with us today. We're taking your phone calls at 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to know more about this program, if you'd like to talk to the people involved, but mostly if you're a veteran, if there's been a World War II veteran in your life that's been important to you, or a veteran from Korea, Vietnam, Desert Storm, Iraq, Afghanistan, give us a call. We'd like to put you on the air to share your memories and your stories. 261-6371, 1-800-780-9742. Let's go to the phones. We have Don in Wausau. Don, you're on Route 51.
Hello.
Hello, Don. Now you're with the Bull Falls Brewery, correct?
Yeah, we're with the Bull Falls Brewery, and I'm calling in to give you a little update of what happened last week.
You ran one of the fundraisers for this organization.
Right. I got to talking to Jim and Mike a month or so ago, and we broached the idea of having a honor flight run. And it was actually last Saturday. Weather wasn't the greatest, but we just had a tremendous response. We thought we could maybe get 75 or 100 runners, and we had that in the first week, and then we ordered some more T-shirts, and then we got up to 200, and then we ordered some more T-shirts, and then it was too late to order any more, so we had 300, and then the day of the race came, and we had walk-ins, and we had 132 walk-ins.
Holy cow.
And they signed up, and so we actually ended up with 404 runners.
Jim, you were at that event, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, he was. I had to keep him down a lot because he was getting kind of rowdy. But
it's that Bach beer was getting.
That's that Bach beer in the second one.
Don, why did your company, the Bull Falls Brewery, decide it was important to sponsor this group?
Well, it started out just to have a run because we were going to have one last year just for the fun of it. And then when we heard about the Honor Flight Run, we thought that this was just a perfect fit for what we wanted to do because the veterans aren't thought about as much as they should be. And we thought this would be a good way to demonstrate in our way something that would not only recognize the veterans, but also to maybe have money enough to sponsor them. And we, with the money from the runners, we got about $5 out of the registration fee from the runners.
Uh-huh.
And then we had a series of sponsors that helped us put the run on. Some of them were runners, but most of them were businesses in town here. Then we had some pictures set out at the event so that the attendees at our second annual Bachfest could contribute to it. And Horseman Children kicked in almost enough for one veteran. And then the American Legion that was serving the food donated a portion of theirs. So we don't have it all tallied, but...
But that turnout was much more than you expected.
Oh, my gosh, it was unbelievable. We had 404 runners, and I think, I just looked at the accounts today. There are some bills to be paid yet, and there's some of the money to come in yet. But I think we're going to have enough to sponsor 10 veterans.
Wow.
That's awesome.
And Donnie, I can tell you, because I called Horace Mann, and they brought another check in for $20, so they came in at $509, I think was the amount.
Wow.
It cost $500 for each vet. So these school children at the middle school are sponsoring one veteran to go, and that's just awesome because those children are at least two generations removed from World War II vets.
Don, thanks so much for the phone call. We
sure.
We really appreciate it, and these gentlemen here really appreciate all you did
for
the
much,
program.
Thanks so much, Don. It was a great event.
It was awesome.
Yep.
So you
okay.
got
thank you.
Thank you again, Don. So you got students at Horace Mann Middle School contributing, and they're listed as one of your sponsors on your webpage.
They are. That was a total surprise to both the Honor Flight folks and the Bull Hall Breweries folks. I think a teacher brought the checks in.
Somebody took it upon themselves to raise money to support a vet going to Washington, D.C., and presented it to Don Zamzo at Bull Falls. And so we're very proud of those kids.
It's awesome.
But you still need more help. If people want to get in touch with your organization, what's the best way to do it?
Well, we've tried to make it easy for people to get in contact with us. If they want to use a telephone, Cellcom has donated free phone service forever, and the number is 573-8519 with the local area code, 573-8519. In addition, we have a local post office box, which is 5056 in Wausau. And we also have a website, of course. And it's surprising how many veterans, even 92-year-old veterans like this gentleman right here, use a computer and have email.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We have a website that you just referred to. It's neverforgottenhonorflight.org. And veterans can get an application online. Guardians that would like to accompany the veterans can get an application. And, of course, if you'd like to donate, you can do that as well. And it goes right to our fiscal partner, who is the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin. And they've been a phenomenal help. And because of that foundation partnering with us, we were able to come online with our program probably at least 6 months in advance and saved whatever it cost to get that status. And it's at least the cost of one veteran.
You've got a number of sponsors that have stepped up. Godorzy Development, Quick Trip, Central Beer Distributors, Cellcom, you mentioned, Nortrax of Eau Claire, Emma Crumbies, Johnson Timber, Walmart of Rib Mountain and Wisconsin Rapids, Carl's Transport of Antigo, Kinsey Green Marketing, not only the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin, but the Community Foundation of Greater Southwood County, the Dudley Foundation, a number of service organizations, the Wausau Early Bird Rotary, the Lions Club of Burnham Wood and Antigo, the Rolling Thunder Chapter 4, Disabled American Vets, and the American Legion post in White Lake. Have I left anybody out?
We can include the American Legion of Wausau for what their support will be for the Bach run on Saturday.
And their proceeds will go our way. It's great that it's difficult to keep this current, but we try to keep it very, very current. But since that was published yesterday, there's been a couple of others. The Alexander Foundation has stepped up as well. And a couple other companies that are in the beginning process. I met with the woodchucks yesterday. And all I can tell you at this point is this season with the woodchucks is going to be a lot of fun, and they can expect that one of the games is going to be very veteran-oriented. Presto Prince has given some gifts in kind with the mailings and so forth. So there's every day.
It's amazing that you've been able to do this in just four short months.
We've been going 100 miles an hour, Glenn, for the last 4 months, and we're getting older every day, every minute.
All of us are.
You know,
Ralph Buechler, yeah. What does it say to you as a World War II vet, somebody who served his country, to see this outpouring of local support for this unique project?
I think it's unbelievable. I think it's unbelievable, Glenn. You know, that's 60, 70 years gone by. And the youngsters really don't know what we went through.
But yet they're supporting you, the Horace Mann Mill.
Absolutely.
Students.
Absolutely.
Are you finding, and this must be true, it's kind of a rhetorical question, but you must be finding that there are fewer and fewer of your comrades in arms, your fellow World War II vets, you know, every week in North Central Wisconsin.
Every day.
You know, in the country, if you've heard the statistics, there's about 3 million World War II vets left in the United States.
That's out of 16 million that originally signed up in the early 1940s.
Right. And now we're losing at a rate of 1,000 to 1,500 a day. And those are big numbers. But on a local basis, there's over 14,000 in our 19 counties. There's over 2,000 in the county we're sitting in, Marathon County. And in just those counties, it's 5 a day.
I want you to hold that thought, Jim. We've got to take a quick break for news. We're talking to Jim Campbell, Mike Thompson of the Never Forgotten Honor Flight, World War II veteran Ralph Buechler. We're back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. I'm Glenn Moberg. Our subject today, the Never Forgotten Honor Flight. This is a group of local guys who is... What they're doing is sponsoring a 737, which will be filled with World War II vets, taking them out to Washington on April 27th to see the Veterans Memorial. Mike Thompson and Jim Campbell, the co-founders of the group, are with us, along with Ralph Buechler, 92 years young, retired Wausau businessman, World War II vet who served in the Pacific. And this is really amazing, the kind of outpouring from the community and the support that this whole project has had in just 4 months since they came up with it. We'd like to hear from you if you know a World War II vet, if you know a veteran from any of the wars that America has fought. We want you to share your memories with us. 261-6371 if you're in the Wausau area, or 1-800-780-9742, calling from anywhere, 1-800-780-9742. And I'll tell you what, let's go right to the phones. We've got Mary Lou in Wausau who's with us. Mary Lou, you're on Route 51. Hello, Mary Lou.
This is her husband.
Oh.
The person that went on the trip.
All right. Who am I talking to? Because my computer says I'm talking to Mary Lou, but I don't think that's correct.
Not really. No, I'm Al Milner. I went on the trip. It was sponsored by...
the Freedom Honor Flight out of La Crosse, was that correct?
Out of La Crosse, correct. There were only three of us from this area that was on the trip. The rest were all from around 150 miles of La Crosse.
So Mary Lou, I take it, must be a relative of yours, and she placed the call and then handed the receiver to you?
Yeah, she's a relative. She's my wife.
All right. There you go. That's what I figured. Well, Al, tell us about your experience on this trip from La Crosse. And as we were telling our listeners in the first half of the show, that this is something that's happening all over the country right now and all across Wisconsin.
Yep. It's over 90 hubs, correct?
Currently. That is true. It's a very fantastic trip. You do the whole thing in one day, And it doesn't make any difference if you can walk or you can crawl or whatever. They have wheelchairs to take care of all situations.
Good. That's good.
They have buses to take you wherever you're going to go in Washington. So it's, and they think of everything. You still there?
Yeah. And Al, what did you see on that trip?
Well, first of all, you don't go into Washington, D.C. You go out, it's about an hour's trip by bus into Washington from, I guess it's Virginia or someplace where they plane lands. And you go to the memorial, and you spend, probably half a day there. Then they put you on a bus, and they take you over to the Vietnam memorials and the, and the Korean, and also the monument at Iwo Jima.
Now, is one day enough for all of that?
Oh, yes. Yes, it's plenty, actually. I mean, there's only so much walking that you can do. It is very, very impressive. The monument is one of the best memorials in the whole group. And
Al, can you contrast for me, what was it like on the flight going out there compared to the flight coming back?
Coming up there, going up, well, first of all, we had to be in La Crosse at 5 o'clock in the morning, which they took care of us, and you have to go through a security-type thing.
I'm just talking about the mood of the veterans on the way out there compared to the mood on the way back.
Well, probably a little leery. I mean, nobody knew what to expect.
And what about on the way back?
That was fantastic. I mean, they had everything. You figured you were going to just sleep a little bit on the way back. It takes 2 hours to come back. And they had mail call, GI mail call. And they had contacted relatives and friends ahead of time, which we didn't know. And they had them send mementos and letters. And the kids in school, they contacted them, and they sent little mementos and praising us for and thanking us for all that we did for them.
All the vets sharing their experiences, talking to each other on the way back?
Yes, but mostly this took the whole trip back, this mail call thing.
Al, did you serve in the European or the Pacific theaters?
I spent in the Pacific theater. I spent a total of over 6 years. I was in a year before the war, all through the war, and discharged after.
Ralph, anything you'd like to say to Al? You both
like
served
to know
in the
what
Pacific
islands
theater.
You ended up on.
I'll tell you one incident that sticks in my mind is when the plane was coming into its berth in Washington, D.C., they had two fire trucks and with the water cannons, and they water cannons sprayed water in an arc over the plane as it went through.
Wow.
It was really a sight to see, really. And they had everybody there. You're thinking more hands, Joy. You could be a great politician, I'm telling you, because there were just hundreds of people at both places.
Al, Ralph wants to know what islands you ended up in the Pacific.
What did I do?
What islands did you end up on?
Practically, well, I started with Guadalcanal and ended up with...
Good.
With the Philippines.
You guys didn't run into each other, did you?
I don't remember.
What branch of service were you in?
I was in the Navy. Yeah, I ended up as a gunner's mate first class.
I would agree with you. That's the service to be in the Pacific.
Yeah, it was quite an experience. I actually wasn't worried about the service. I was just worried about what I was going to do when they let me go, because I just was taken out of high school, and I had no education or as far as a job was concerned. So I was more worried about after than I was during.
And I'll ask you the same question I asked Ralph, your experience in World War II. How did that prepare you for your life when you came back to the States?
I don't think it prepared me for anything, because...
Really?
I was a gunner's mate, and we don't have that type of...
There's no occupations like that in the United States.
Well, I'm thinking of the discipline, the camaraderie, the sense of responsibility you must have gained overseas.
It seemed like I gained an age, because I came home on leave a couple of times, and the kids were just kids I was seemed to be playing with, because I had got so much more mature than the rest of them. Because you're with older people, and you're with this group, and you're it's a very good experience.
Al, thanks so much for the phone call. We really appreciate you contributing. 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to join the conversation. Jim Campbell, veterans like Al, who took the flight out from La Crosse, are really pretty typical.
Yeah, and you heard one of the comments he said on the way out, a little hesitant, if you will. And I don't know what the percent is, but maybe one out of three veterans really have to be encouraged by family members, other veterans, friends or whatever, because it may be an emotional thing, it may be a medical situation or whatever, but almost all of those are not showstoppers. So, because I've been on the phone for half an hour convincing a vet that he should really take advantage of it. And
how do you decide who a World War II vet is?
Good question, because a lot of the vets say, I don't know if I'm qualified or not. If you served in the United States military, and it doesn't matter which branch, from December 1st, 1941, until December 31st, 1946, you qualify, period. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say you had to serve in the Pacific or the Atlantic. This is not just for combat. It's for veterans, period. And they need to, because we've had a number of veterans that thought they were not qualified because they didn't get shot at. Totally irrelevant.
It doesn't say combat veterans. Right.
Every single one of them wrote the check. They wrote the check. This is my life, and I'm going to lay it down for my country if I have to. They qualify.
And your goal is to get all of the surviving World War II vets in these 19 counties to Washington, D.C.
Everyone that wants to go, we'll bring them on board,
absolutely.
Glenn. And I can tell you, too, that each of our guardians, we'll have 50 guardians on that airplane that will be required to attend a 1.5 to 2 hour training session to help them understand how to take care of these guys. And there'll be people at the airplanes and at the buses, too, two at the bottom of the bus and one at the top, making sure they get on and off the bus safely, and they'll be taken well care of. I can assure them of that.
How important are these guardians?
They're as I mentioned, part of that three-legged stool. They're critical.
And you have how many per vet?
It can be anywhere from 1 to 1, depending upon whether the vet is in wheelchair or one guardian to 2 or 3 vets. Again, depending upon the condition of the veterans.
Also, World War II vets.
No.
And the other question I've got with the contributions that are coming into your organization, Jim, are they fully tax deductible?
Good question. Because of our relationship with the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin, every donation is 100% tax deductible. And excuse me. Ralph just asked a good question. He said, can the guardians be World War II veterans? And the answer to that is, unfortunately, no. They're going to go as vets and be paid for. We would like to see at least a generation gap for the guardians for obvious reasons. They have to take care of them. Now, in Ralph's case, Ralph may be pushing around some of the guardians by the end of the day because he's in pretty good shape.
261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to join the conversation. Was there something special about World War II and the veterans who served in it? It was, after all, the last war that was officially declared by the United States.
It was probably a different type of war that they've ever fought. Half of it was on land and the other half was on water. And they were entirely different.
And we were fighting on two fronts.
Absolutely.
Which they told people in the history books before that time had never been done successfully.
That's right.
But something about the people who served in that war, Tom Brokaw wrote the book, The Greatest Generation. That really was true, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And if you think about it, when these men and women came back from the war when it was over, and we like to say they got off the bus. They got off the local train, and they got on their John Deere tractor and started plowing the fields again. They started working in the factories. They started building businesses. They started raising families.
Built the interstate highway system that created the America we know today.
Which President Eisenhower started.
Right.
And they did not come home to gymnasiums and auditoriums full of flag-waving citizens of their community. And they didn't get that. They just came, got off the bus by themselves, and went and built this country. And now, for the first time, they're able to get that type of support from the public, and it is going over extremely well.
Let's go back to the phones. It's 261-6371, 1-800-780-9742. Let's go to Amy in Wausau. Amy, you're on Route 51.
Hi. I'm just wondering about who you said that anybody who was in the military at the time could go. I'm calling on behalf of my father-in-law, by the way, and he's up in Ashland. And just wanted to know if that was a possibility, if he could go. And also, he hasn't been separated from his wife, I think, since he got back from the war. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering about the, who he could go with. You know, could his wife be his guardian?
You know, Amy, that's a great question, and I got to tell you, we get that question a lot. His wife can join him as a guest for the banquet celebration, which happens to be the 25th for this flight, 2 days before.
It's a Sunday night.
It's a Sunday night. However, the trip is for the veterans. Mm-hmm. And even though many of them would like to take their spouses, unless their spouse is a veteran, and on this flight we have two couples that are both veterans and they're going. Otherwise, his wife will have to.
We really need every available seat for veterans. We're trying to without degrading our guardian list. We're trying to get as many veterans on the flight as we can, and first come first serve basis, and that's the way it's fair to all, because we've already got a backlog of veterans signed up for flight number two.
Oh, okay. All right, well, thank you very
and
much.
Amy, before you hang up, tell us a little bit about your father-in-law. What memories has he shared with you about his service, if he's done that at all, that maybe you could share with us?
Yeah, we've been teasing it out of him a little bit. I think it's easier for me to ask than his sons. He's got five kids, five boys, and they all want to know about it, too. But he had served in France. I think it was at the very end of the war, and he was part of an armor division. And he did talk a little bit, and it's mostly we pick up things, too, if he's talking to another guy who's a vet. And they both sit around and talk about it a little bit. And he had gotten injured and talks a little bit about it. But, yeah, he doesn't want to say a whole lot, but I think that's the way most vets are.
Yeah. My dad was stationed in France in World War II. He was a radio communications guy. He didn't want to talk a lot about it either.
I think he was doing the same type of thing.
Amy, thanks so much for the phone call. And that website, again, is neverforgottenhonorflight.org if you want to look into it and see about maybe getting him on a future flight.
Okay, thank you so much.
Amy, thank you. Ralph Buechler, what is it about the World War II vets that so many of you are reluctant to talk about what you did overseas, what happened with you?
Well, I guess most of us consider it over, done with. I mean, it's just something that you don't talk too much about unless people ask questions.
I think a lot of vets closed that door 65 years ago. Until I had taken the flight as a guardian, and the veterans began opening up, and that's a good thing. They need to talk about it and also share their stories, because as they know, they're not going to be around that much longer.
261-6371, 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to share your stories or the stories of a World War II vet who maybe was close to you. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51. We're talking about the Never Forgotten Honor Flight, a project organized locally, but there are chapters all across the country to take vets, World War II vets, to their memorial in Washington, D.C. Do it free of charge. They've already pretty much filled that first flight on April 27th. They're arranging for a second flight. And our guests today are Mike Thompson and Jim Campbell, co-founders of the group, and World War II veteran Ralph Beekler. So what's next for you guys? Is it the Korean War after that, after you finally reach your goal of taking all the World War II vets who want to go?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, we already have a number of Korean War veterans that that have applied.
And then our kids will take over our positions and take us on the Vietnam era.
Push us around.
Push our wheelchairs.
So this is something that's going to continue for the foreseeable future.
Absolutely.
You're certainly off to a good start.
Absolutely. It's absolutely amazing that from the first flight that took 12 veterans in May of 2005 to today, they've transported about 36,000 veterans and returned them home safely. And from one city to, is it 92 hubs?
I believe it's 92.
92 cities in the country. Their goal is to be in every state by the end of the year.
You know, the Second World War and its outcome really did create today's America and make us the world's superpower.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's true.
And, Jim, I recall seeing a bumper sticker.
If you can read this bumper sticker, thank your teacher. If you can read it in English, thank a veteran.
Because we forget how close we came in World War II to having a completely different world political scheme, different balance of power, different values all across this this globe. Yeah.
And the other statement, Glenn, that I've heard from Will Rogers is that we can't all be heroes. Some of us have to stand on the sidelines and clap. And that's where we hope our fundraisers can come and can help out these veterans and make sure that we get off the first flight and also into our fall flight as well.
What do you think America could use today? And I'll throw this out to anyone who wants to answer it. Here in the year 2010, that we had back in the 40s when we fought the Great War and when our veterans returned to rebuild America. What are we missing today that we had then? Ralph, what do you think?
Well, Ralph was alive in both of those times.
So. Oh, yes, I was very alive.
Very
I was
alive.
Working.
Yeah.
I think the job part of it, loyalty, discipline, you don't see any of that now.
The sense that service is more important than your own selfish interest.
Well, it's equal at least.
I think Pearl Harbor had a real rallying point for the whole United States. I think we were somewhat isolationist in the early part of that war, and when Pearl Harbor showed us that we're not outside of the airplane or boat range of bad people, I think everybody stepped forward and my dad volunteered, his brother volunteered, and their sister volunteered. So they were totally unified in a cause that was a worldwide cause.
And if people want to volunteer for this cause, Jim Campbell, you have a post office box, 5056 in Wausau.
Yes.
The number, and correct me if I've got it wrong, 573-8519.
Correct.
And that website again?
NeverForgottenHonorFlight.org. And the volunteer portion is very important. We found that at every time we've presented this at a service club of a veterans organization or whatever, that number one, they're coming up with an idea for a fundraiser or a project that we would never have thought of. And they also come up with and volunteer to gifts in kind. For example, and I'm going to use Mary's name because a lot of listening folks know Mary Weller, who was listening at a Rotary function, she is going to take on and organize the banquet day. And that's huge.
NeverForgottenHonorFlight.org. Jim Campbell, Mike Thompson, Ralph Beekler, thanks so much for being with us. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Mary Baldwin. Thanks, as always, to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. That's it for us. Thanks again for riding with us today. Until next week, we're heading out of town.